Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Really, Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin. Oh, baby! You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk. Oh! Josh Okogie! May the force be with you! Oh, my goodness, Carl Anthony Towns! He is not human! He is catastrophic!
Hello and welcome to the Believe in Timberwolves podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. As always, I am your host, Brendan Hedke, and I am here to bring you Timberwolves content. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the Timberwolves and just like the streakiness that they've been playing with over the course of the entire season. And we're also going to talk about the identity of this team, who's been playing well lately, who has been playing. And of course, we'll dive into the COVID implications that have come about over the last handful of games and what that means for the Timberwolves and means for the team going forward, as well as what it means for just the NBA in general and things like that. So the first thing I did want to talk about before we get into our episode is to talk about our lovely sponsor. So I'll do that and I will be right back. BetOnline is back and they're better than ever. They have a brand new website, which is amazing. It's going to be here for the rest of the NBA season. They have more props, more odds, more lines than they've really ever had before. So they just remain to be your number one spot for all the basketball, football action this coming season. So if you head over to that new website or use the mobile website as well, you can sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So if you deposit $100, they're going to give you $50 free to play with. Just use the promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's the fastest, the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, so now that we are back with our show, I do want to, before we dive into it, just kind of apologize again for another lengthy absence of mine. I've just been really busy, but the main part was I lost my voice for a good chunk of time there between teaching and coaching high school basketball. I just had no voice. It would have been terrible if you were here listening to me try and talk. But the voice has finally made its recovery, and I am ready to go. And just when the Timberwolves again lose a game, I seem to always miss out on these streaks. I really seem to miss out on the winning streaks. I need to get better about that. But anyways, let's talk about the last time we talked was, I think, about 2.5 weeks ago. And the Timberwolves had just lost to the, I believe they had just lost to the Nets by 5 without Karl Anthony Towns. And they were heading into a tough stretch of games. And I kind of put out basically like not a prediction, but like an expectation of where this team should be over the course of the next X amount of games. And what I had said was the Timberwolves had 14 games coming up at that point. So I'll read those 14 games quick. So it was the Atlanta game, the Utah game, the Cleveland game, the Blazers game, the Denver game, the Lakers game, the two games against the Mavericks. And those are the games that they've played so far, those eight. And then on top of those eight were six more games I talked about. Utah again, which will be later tonight as I'm recording this on Thursday. And then the Celtics on Monday, the Knicks on Tuesday, then the Jazz, the Lakers, Clippers. That was a 14-game stretch. And basically what I said was the Timberwolves need to come out of that stretch winning seven or eight of those games. Going 500, maybe a step above 500 over those 14 games. And so far, since the Timberwolves have started that streak, they've played eight of those games, like I said. They lost to the Hawks, the Jazz, and the Cavaliers. Went on a three-game losing streak, which also had two games lost right before that. So it was a total of five-game losing streak. And then they followed that up with a win against the Blazers on the road, a win against the Nuggets, which is the first time the Timberwolves have beat the Nuggets since they played in Game 82. Then a win against the Lakers, where they just decimated LeBron once again. And then a win against the Mavericks. And then a loss to the shorthanded Mavericks. We were shorthanded too, but it's pretty objectively clear that the Mavericks were more shorthanded than the Timberwolves, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Though the Timberwolves' best defenders were definitely not on the court. But they lost by 12 in a game that they were kind of down the whole thing. I didn't watch most of it. But then I watched most of the second half. They started to come back there at the end of the third, into the fourth. And they actually got the lead, but then they end up, you know, going back down and losing by 12. So those are the eight games. So over that, if you weren't counting, they've been 4-4 so far. So they're right on track to be 500. The remaining six games, like I said, are Utah, Boston, New York, Utah again, and then both LA teams. And all of those games, the Jazz is on the road today. Then the Timberwolves come home to play the Celtics and Knicks back-to-back, which will be nice that the back-to-back is at least at home and not on the road. Then they go on the road to play the Jazz, the Lakers, and then the Clippers the next night. So Friday, Sunday, Monday, they play Jazz, Lakers, Clippers. So those six games, there's some winnable games. I think the Timberwolves could go ahead. They could beat the Knicks and the Celtics. The Knicks and Celtics aren't exactly doing hot. You know, the Celtics are 16-16, sitting there right at 500. The Knicks are 14-17. They've lost 7 of their last 10. The Celtics have lost 6 of their last 10. So those teams aren't, you know, scheduled losses by any means. The Timberwolves also play Utah twice. It's going to be tough, especially tonight. They're going to be down a lot of their good players. And Utah, from my understanding, is relatively healthy. I haven't checked their health status as of today. But overall, I think they're pretty generally healthy compared to the rest of the league. And then they also play the Lakers, who are a team that they definitely are able to beat. They beat them twice already. The Lakers are just 16-16, as the Wolves are 15-16. The Wolves have already won two of their games against the Lakers this season. So that's definitely a winnable game. And then the Clippers is going to be a tough one. The Clippers are 17-15. So again, their record doesn't suggest that they're that much better than the Timberwolves. But we've seen them take it to a healthy Timberwolves squad twice this year, which doesn't bode well for their chances in that game. Clippers are 6-4 in their last 10 games. But again, crazier things have happened. You never know who's going to be available this time of the year for both sides, for the Timberwolves and for their opponents. So it's going to be really interesting to track how that goes. But I would say if the Timberwolves come out of that stretch winning the Boston, New York, and say the Lakers game, then they went 8-8 in that, or excuse me, 7-7 in that stretch, I'd be pretty happy with that. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. I think that would be a generally solid ending to this. You know, really, we thought it was going to be a really, really tough stretch of games in December. And so far in the month of December, I got to go ahead and look at it now. The Timberwolves have been playing really, actually a lot better than people thought they were going to be. Overall, their record in December is 4-6 in their 10 games, where team, you know, you probably thought at the beginning of the year, you looked at that December stretch. When you're going up against teams like, in December, you're going up against teams like the Wizards, who were playing really well to start the season, the Nets, the Hawks, the Jazz, the Cavs, who people didn't think were going to be that good but ended up being better than some of those other teams, the Blazers, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Mavericks twice, the Jazz again, the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Jazz. That looked like a hellacious schedule that you were going to go through. And it turned out the Timberwolves so far, 4-6 in that stretch, with a chance to improve that record as well. So yeah, I like it. But after this stretch, after those 14 games, I talked about the next four games that the Timberwolves have, which will bring them exactly to the halfway point of the year. And that those games would be a game at home against the Thunder on January 5th. Then they go on the road against the Thunder on January 7th, followed by a quick trip down to Houston on January 9th, and then over to New Orleans on January 11th. So those four games, three on the road. Luckily, the road games are, the Thunder is, I mean, it's kind of a long trip to go from Minneapolis to Oklahoma City, but after that, Oklahoma City to Houston's nothing terrible. And Houston to New Orleans is nothing terrible as well. So pretty quick, you know, trips that they're going to be taking. They're all 2 days apart, so they're not going to be doing any back-to-backs. They're on the road, but those four opponents aren't anything special. The Thunder this season so far have just an 11-19 record, and they've had their ups and downs. Currently, they're on a three-game win streak. They're not a team that's really trying to win. They're trying to be in the lottery again. The Pelicans actually have been playing really well lately. They've won three straight games. But again, the Timberwolves have beat them. They're likely still going to be without Zion Williamson. And then they play the Rockets, who had a little winning streak there, but now they've lost their last two, and they're 4-6 in their last 10, and they sit at 10-22, bottom of the league. So if the Timberwolves are healthy in those four games, those are four games that you should win. At worst, I don't even want to say that, but at worst, you have to be 3-1 in those four games, right? I get playing teams twice in a row. It's hard to beat a team twice in a row, but when that team is the Thunder, I think as long as you're healthy, you need to win those games. So say the Timberwolves go 3-3 against these next six games, Utah, Boston, New York, Utah, Lakers, Clippers. Then their record would be sitting at 18-19, and then you follow that up with two games against the Thunder, then the Rockets and Pelicans. If you win all four of those games, you are sitting at 22-19 at the midway point of the season. You're three games above 500 at that point. Now, when I tweeted out the other day, where did people expect the Timberwolves to be at the midway point of the season? Did a little poll on Twitter. This was before the Patrick Beverley and Jared Vanderbilt news broke, so I think a lot of people were assuming another win against the Dallas Mavericks. I tweeted this the day before the last game against the Mavericks. So after that game, before this last game, the overwhelming majority, 62.8% of the people that voted, said the Timberwolves was going to have 21-23 wins at the midway point of the season. So if you average 21-23, that's 22, and that's what my, you know, going 7-3 over these next 10, which is seems very possible, as long, you know, considering solid health, that would put the Timberwolves right there, 22-19. But again, some people said maybe 24-26 wins. Some people thought maybe 18-20 wins. Only 0.7% of people said 15-17 wins, assuming the Wolves would win max of two more games, which I just don't think is possible. I think at worst, the Wolves are probably 19-22 at the midway point of the season. But I think they need to be better than that. I want them, and I should expect them to at least be 20-21, but probably should at least be 21-20 in my mind. But again, health around the league has just been so weird. The Timberwolves have been decimated without Anthony Edwards. They've also been missing now Jared Vanderbilt and Patrick Beverley missed the last game. And they've been missing Torian Prince and Josh Okogie as well. Again, Okogie and Prince don't play huge roles, but they would have played bigger roles, and you wouldn't have had to play Jake Layman and Leandro Balmero as much now that if those guys were healthy, but those guys aren't healthy, which has been unfortunate. So let's go ahead and talk about COVID and what it's all been doing the league. Obviously, there's a new variant, and sounds like, I think Adam Silver said something like 90% of the cases of COVID are coming from the new variant, and it's less severe. There's less, you know, symptoms. A lot of players are asymptomatic, but again, we don't know the long-term health effects and stuff like that. I'm not going to get into all that, but I just want to say it's clearly far more transmissible than past, you know, versions of COVID, which has been really hard for the NBA to get a grasp on. But it's been good to see that players haven't been getting too sick, and when they've been getting back, they haven't had a lot of side effects or anything like that. But it has caused a ton of players to miss games. I think over a four-day stretch or eight-day stretch or something, where it was like 80-something players ended up in COVID protocols. Just an insane number of players. And the Timberwolves have had their fair share of that as well. Luckily, they're two of their top three players in D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns have been able to stay healthy and stay on the court. But they've been missing, you know, some key players along that stretch. And those key players are Anthony Edwards, who is, again, one of their best three players. Patrick Beverley, who is their best defender, maybe second best defender. And Jared Vanderbilt, who seems to be the glue that kind of keeps everything together on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. When we're talking about offensive rebounding, and all the factors that play into that. So, with that said, I want to talk about just the overall identity of this team. What is that identity? What should that identity actually be? And how close are we to seeing the what it kind of should shape into? But before we do that, I do want to step away for a minute, talk to you guys about another one of our fantastic sponsors. So give me a minute and I will be right back. Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Now, I know, you know, it's past Christmas time. You're going to take an order. It's not going to be here by Christmas, but it's never too late to give someone you love a fantastic gift. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they have cracked the code and the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find, and at a light price, just $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but they're just grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink, a beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift they'll never want to take off. Priced so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. Visit lightboxjewelry.com. Again, lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds. Never a dull moment. All right, back to the identity of the Timberwolves and what that is, what it seemed to be, and what it should be. Right now, I think it's pretty clear. The identity of this Timberwolves team is their defense. Now, you can weigh that on a scale both ways. Awesome. Timberwolves have been a poor, poor defense pretty much my entire, you know, life. After Kevin Garnett left, it's been a struggle on the defensive side of the ball. It's awesome. Playing defense. Cool. The problem is, this team was also supposed to be a fantastic offense. Just a enormously great offensive team, right? That was supposed to be what they were. They were supposed to just be a top 10 offense, run you out of the gym, drain threes, just like make you wish you weren't playing against them on the defensive side of the ball. And that just really has not been the case this year. So far this season, the Timberwolves rank 22nd on offense, and on defense they rank 12th. So, what's the deal? What's going on? The deal is, defensively, they've been able to figure it out. The scrambling scheme has seemed to work pretty well. Obviously, there's been some holes. We saw that against like the Wizards. We saw it against the Hawks. But for the most part, they've been locked in that scheme, and it's been working really well. The guys that have really been making that going are like the Patrick Beverleys of the world, the Jared Vanderbilts of the world, and D'Angelo Russell. I talked about D'Angelo Russell last time, and it just kind of has bared true this whole time. When he's got the personnel around him with the Vanderbilts, the Beverleys, the Anthony Edwards even, and he can direct traffic, that's when the defense is at the best. So he's a very integral glue guy to that scheme as well. But it's sad that that's the identity of this team when you have three super gifted offensive talents in the league. One of the best big men, especially the best offensive big men in the league. One of the most electric, young, athletic players in the league. And Anthony Edwards is a guy that just like feeds off of energy. Feeds off of it. And he is one of the most explosive players in the league. Not so much in like the athleticism part of it. He is that too. But I'm talking about like when he gets it going, it's insane. There's few players that get it going hotter than he does. He doesn't do it as often as players, but he can put the team on your back for a 2-minute stretch and take a 10-point deficit into an 8-point lead. It's just boom, 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 quick, right? And then D'Angelo Russell, super smart player, makes tough passes, hits tough shots. But again, the identity has not been the offense this year, as it has been in every other season. It is not the offense right now. And I think that's kind of a problem for a team to have just one identity. Just one. You're stuck to the defense, and if you're not playing defense, you're not winning games. I think Dane Moore said this on his podcast with Britt Robson recently. Something about the Timberwolves have played, I think, 11 games where their defensive rating has been above 115, I believe. And they're 0-11 in all those games. So if the defense isn't playing well, they're not going to win basketball games. Which is an absurd thing to think about. Because last season, the Timberwolves' defensive rating was 114.5. Nearly as bad as that 115. They were able to win games when their defense was bad. And that's because their offense was good. And so far this season, their offense has not been great. It's been good sometimes. But really, the reason the offense is going is because of the transition opportunities that are being created by the defense. The Timberwolves' half-court offense is, I believe, bottom five, if not bottom three in the league. Terrible, right? Some of that maybe is to do with lack of energy since the defense is taking some energy out of you. But again, you gotta make shots. Karl-Anthony Towns is the only guy making shots. D'Angelo Russell's been struggling. Malik Beasley's been struggling. And really, Anthony Edwards hasn't had the leap that maybe we thought he could. He's shown flashes of being just dominant. I mean, he had 48 points against the Golden State Warriors, but they needed more from shot, especially more shot making, better ball movement, and things like that. Now that kind of transitions me into my next topic, and that's Karl-Anthony Towns and what Karl-Anthony Towns has been able to do recently. The toughest part about the Timberwolves offense this season has been teams are playing a smaller player against Karl-Anthony Towns. The Jazz are sending like a Rudy Gay or a Royce O'Neal or a Bojan Bogdanovic at him. Other teams have been sending smaller players too, you know, like Nicholas Batum gets put on him. And it allows the bigs, the Zubaks, the Capellas, the Goberts, to camp in the lane and block shots, deter Anthony Edwards from getting to the rim, make it harder for Jared Vanderbilt to get dump-off passes, make it harder for D'Angelo Russell to get shifty down into the lane and, you know, make it to the rim. It's been a lot harder. But as of late, Karl-Anthony Towns has done something that has been very, very helpful for this team and I think is a way that we can push the Timberwolves offense into the top 15, if not the top 10. And this is what he's been doing. First off, I'll run through his stats of what he's had over the last five games. So over the last five games, it includes a five-game winning streak, which, again, was the Trailblazers at the Trailblazers, at the Nuggets, home against the Lakers, home against the Mavericks, and then away against the Mavericks. They went 4-1, only losing that second game to Dallas. And this is what the what Karl-Anthony Towns has been able to do over that stretch of games. He has averaged 26.6 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game. So obviously he's scoring the ball really well compared to how he was at the beginning of the season. I think his per game this year he's sitting at like 24.5 points. So obviously 26.6 points is a couple points up of that. He had a game basically over those 5 games. He scored 23 against Portland, 32 against Denver, 28 against the Lakers, 24 against Dallas, and 26 against Dallas. So he's been really consistent with the scoring as well. The 9 rebounds is good. He had struggled, you know, rebounding the ball so far this season. I think he's only averaging 9 rebounds a game, so that's kind of been consistent with that. But then 5 assists as well. He's only been averaging 3.5 assists this season. So bumping up to 5 is good. The other big things that he's been doing. Overall, he's shooting 59% on 12 two-pointers per game and 39.1% on 4.5 threes per game, leaving his true shooting at 66%. But one of the biggest things is the free throws. 7.6 free throw attempts per game, hitting 89.5% of those free throws. 89.5%. So basically, Cat is like 50-40-90 right now over these last five games. And even on the season, he's at, you know, 50-40-83. So he's just been fantastic. The big thing is that he's getting to the line 7.6 times a game, where this so far this season, altogether, he's at 5.8. So he's getting a couple extra shots at the line every game. And how that is happening is the big thing. I think a couple weeks ago, I don't remember exactly when, which game it was after, And it's been a theme all season. Karl-Anthony Towns has been letting that double team get to him, and he hasn't been good at passing the ball out of it. And that's been the biggest thing hampering this Timberwolves offense this season. Alongside not knocking down open shots when Cat does get the ball out of those double teams. But he's been slow with it. And he's been trying to fight through them, trying to score on them, and it just hasn't happened. It's been bad. Now what's happening is he's going quicker. He catches the ball and he goes. He doesn't wait for that double team to come. He catches it and goes. So when they're guarding with the smaller guy, they might be a little bit quicker, so he might not be able to beat them, but he's bigger. You cannot tell me that Bojan Bogdanović is going to be able to hold his own against Cat driving to the lane. It's not going to happen. He's either going to get past him, he's going to use his strength to go over him, or Bojan's going to foul Cat, right? And that's the type of thing that we're begging him for. Anthony Edwards, post-game of couple weeks ago, said to Cat, like, he's got to go quicker. I told him he's got to go quicker. Nobody can guard you. Like, look at Embiid. Embiid goes quick. He doesn't let that double team get to him. That's what Cat's been needing to do. And over these five games, that's what he has been doing, which have led to, like, the best stretch of basketball he's played this season. He's a plus 51 in those five games this season. A plus 51. That is just by far the best, I think. I haven't crunched the numbers, but probably the best, like, consistent stretch of basketball he's played. He was a plus 19 in Portland, a plus 18 in Denver, plus 23 against the Lakers, plus 6 against Dallas, and he was a minus 15 in the Dallas loss. So he was really a plus 66 in that four-game winning streak. And it felt like it, too. He was playing so well that it really did feel like he was doing fantastic. And even in the Dallas loss, he was playing really well. He just didn't take enough shots. And that's another problem that we're seeing. Karl-Anthony Towns ended the Denver game third in the team in shots. He took 14 total shots, 10 from 2 and 4 from 3. He was 3 for 4 from deep, and he was 6 for 10 from 2. So he was 9 for 14 overall. The fact that he only took 4 threes and 14 total shots in a game where Anthony Edwards was missing, D'Angelo Russell was cold, is just plainly unacceptable. Karl-Anthony Towns needs to act like he's the best player on the floor and needs to demand shots. Top of the key shots. Mid-range shots. Shoot him. Best big man shooter in the league right now, undisputed. He has to hit those shots. He is shooting 42.6% from three this year. 42.6% on 5.6 attempts per game. 2 years ago, he shot 8 threes per game. Last year, he shot 6.3 threes per game, and now he's down to 5.6. It's just unacceptably low, in my opinion. Just completely unacceptably low. And it sucks that he's doing that. Because I think last game against Dallas was as simple as Karl-Anthony Towns taking enough shots, getting the ball out of other players' hands. I think they would have won. If he took 25 shots instead of 14 shots, I think they win. I think it's pretty simple as that. And I don't think that's like a crazy thing to assume either. For players that shoot at least 5 threes per game, so that's high volume 3-point shooters, there is only 5 players shooting a better percentage than Cat. Joe Harris, Luke Kennard, Mike Conley, Eric Gordon, and Patty Mills. Then it's Cat and Bojan Bogdanović. Okay? He's the biggest player on this list by far. Everybody else is a wing or a guard. And Karl-Anthony Towns is a 6'11" center. 42.6%. That is better than Seth Curry, Devin Booker, Norman Powell, Cameron Johnson, Desmond Bane, Stephen Curry, Joe Ingles, Doug McDermott, all those guys. Far and away better than all those guys shooting the ball. Obviously, Steph Curry, better shooter than the Cat. He shoots 13 a game. He shoots 40%. Not going to say Cat's better than him. But what I am saying is high volume, Cat is dominant. He should be taking at least 8 threes a game. He doesn't have the size to play down low like he used to, which is fine. It's fine. He's still effective when he gets down there in a single team, right? The double teams is what's screwing him over. Don't take those double teams. Shoot it, okay? He's going quick out of them now, but he just needs to let it rip. He literally drained a three, highly contested, hand in his face the other night, the first Dallas game. After the game, said it was a bad shot. You know, he said it probably wasn't a good shot. And he's probably right, but, like, he's never that highly contested up there. Just fire him away. It's all I've been asking for. All we've been asking for. Over that five-game stretch, since Karl-Anthony Towns has been playing better, including this Dallas loss, the Timberwolves are sixth on offense, 113.7, which, if you go for the full season, 113.7 would put the Wolves with the 10th best offense in the league. That'd be awesome. And 106.9. That also would put them with the second best defense in the entire league. It's 10th over those last five games for every team. Every team's last five games, that's 10th. But over the course of the season, 106.9 would put the Timberwolves second, only behind the Lakers. The Lakers apparent. Oh, excuse me. No, that's last year. Sorry, let me go back. 113.7 would put the Timberwolves offense as the second best offense in the league. Right now, it is sixth over the last five. And it would put them as the tied for the seventh best defense. Fantastic. I don't know if the defense can keep it up, but I haven't thought they were able to keep it top 15 this season. And so far, they're still 12th. So, if the offense can keep going, and remember, these like two of these games are without Anthony Edwards and Torian Prince. And one of these games is without your two best defensive players. If Cat continues to play offense the way he's playing, gets better players around him, I see no reason this team can't jump up into the top half offensively and continue to be in the top half defensively. That is the recipe for a playoff team. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. A healthy Timberwolves squad needs to be in the playoffs. 8 seed or higher. You might have to play a play-in game. I don't know if you're top 6. I think you can get there. Because really, you look at the standings, you can get there. The teams that are for sure better than the Timberwolves, I think, are the Suns, the Warriors, the Jazz, probably the Grizzlies. They were rocking without Ja, and Ja just came back. Clippers. 5. 5 teams for sure better than the Timberwolves. The Lakers haven't been playing good this year. Timberwolves have beat them twice. The Nuggets are just decimated. The Timberwolves can beat them. They did beat them. The Mavericks, I don't think they're a better team than the Timberwolves. The Trailblazers haven't been playing like it. All those teams, you know, Timberwolves can beat those guys. And then you got like Spurs, Kings, Thunder, Pelicans, Rockets, all beneath the Timberwolves in the standings. I think those are going to be the bottom 5 teams. But the Timberwolves can't get loose. And as long as they stay relatively healthy compared to the rest of the league, get a little bit of luck, I think they're a top 8 seed in the West, if not top 6. A couple more things I want to talk about is specific players playing good and bad since these COVID absences have come around. Balmero, he's not ready. He needs to go to Iowa. He needs to get more minutes, get more comfortable offensively. Get more comfortable playing team defense. He's a good on-ball defender. He gets lost defensively off the ball. And he's probably the worst offensive player that the Timberwolves have on their roster right now. It's just not good. On the flip side of that, Nathan Knight's been playing, or played awesome against Dallas. I liked what I saw. He's a brute force. He fouls a lot. Yeah, that's a struggle. But he's playing hard. He's big. The Timberwolves don't have big guys. I mean, he's like bulky. He can jump. He doesn't give up on rebounds, kind of like Vanderbilt in a way. I liked what I saw from him, and I liked him next to Cat a little bit. I'm interested to see how much he plays against Utah, considering everybody else that's still missing with Vanderbilt out and you know, Patrick Beverly, Josh Okogie, all those guys. We're going to need some defense, and he looked like the lone guy that wanted to play defense there. Last thing I want to talk about, going back to the COVID thing, Adrian Wojnarowski, if you didn't see this, tweeted earlier today saying the NBA is nearing an agreement with the NBA Players Association to lessen the quarantine period for COVID-positive players, sources tell ESPN. In some testing cases, the current 10-day quarantine protocol could be shortened to clear players for return. This is a similar model to the NFL's new plan. Based upon testing, the agreement could allow players to shorten quarantines down to 6 days per sources. The NBA and NBPA have been consulting with their own infectious disease specialists and studying research models in the UK and elsewhere. So 6 days would really change, you know, some things. 6 days, I think Anthony Edwards would be ready to be back, like, soon. Chris Hine tweeted, "We'll see how long it takes for what Woj talked about to go into effect, and if it might impact some of the current Wolves that are in protocols, who are Edwards, Prince, Okogie, Vanderbilt, and Beverly. Tonight, Chris said, should be the last game for Edwards and Prince to sit out regardless, so hopefully those players come back after the holiday. And other than that, Jack Borman, Canis Hoopus' friend as well, he said that he figured out the 10-day marks for all the Wolves in quarantine. For Edwards, it'd be Monday the 27th would be the end of his 10-day quarantine. So, you know, as long as he's symptom-free and not testing positive, he should be good to go. Same with Prince. Okogie would be the 29th. And then Beverly and Vando would be the 30th. If Bev and Vando don't come back till the 30th, they would not only miss the Utah game, they'd miss the Celtics game and the Knicks game and potentially be back for the next Utah game. But if it's 6 days, and they would be able to come back, I think on the 26th, as long as they're up to it, which would pretty much just make them miss the Jazz game, they'd be back for the Celtics. So it'll be interesting to see what the NBA decides to do with that and the Players Association, how all those players are feeling, and when they'll be able to be back. But as long as the Timberwolves can get those guys back and then, knock on wood, stay healthy, which is pretty much... there's not much you can do. It sounds like you're gonna, like, with how much they're playing and how much they're interacting with other players, like, there's only so much you can do with masking and things like that when you're not wearing them in games. If a player on another team is infected, chances are you have a decent shot of getting infected with how transmissible this variant is. But again, there's nothing we can do. We just kind of got to see what happens. It's up to the NBA to make decisions, and I don't know what the right decision is. I'm not here to tell you what it is, but for now, I'm just going to watch basketball, hope that everybody stays healthy, and it's pretty much all we can do. But other than that, again, thank you guys so much for watching, or excuse me, listening to this episode of the Believe in Timberwolves podcast. I'll try to be back shortly and not give you another 2.5 week break. I am taking a vacation, though. We are leaving the day after Christmas, the 26th, and I won't be back in town until the 1st or 2nd of January, so hopefully within that first week of January, I'll have another episode for you guys. But thank you for sticking around, listening to this episode. This has been the Believe in Timberwolves podcast presented by Bet Online. I've been your host, Brendan Hedke. I will see you guys soon. Have a happy holidays and a fantastic new year. And go Wolves!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.